Hello and welcome to a special podcast from whatis.com and Search Data Center. Today I've got the site editor of searchdatacenter.com, Matt Stansberry, and he had a little bit to tell me about the top 10 data center stories of 2006. How's it going, Matt?
Great. Glad to be here.
It's great to have you here in Needham.
Yeah, it is.
Well, so it is in fact near the year's end. As you've written, the birds have flown south, everyone's swarming the malls, and everyone is making top 10 lists. So on your top 10 list, you listed things by the page view popularity. What was the most popular thing that people looked at this past year?
Well, our most popular article the whole year was the Uptime Institute's warning against misusing their tier standards. Anything about standardization, metrics, way to measure data center performance was really popular this year. But the number one was the Uptime Institute's warning against tier standard misuse.
So can you tell me a little bit more about what the Uptime Institute is and what they do?
Yeah, sure. The Uptime Institute is a consulting firm that goes in and kind of makes recommendations and assessments on data center availability. You know, they have four tiers.
So the tier standard system actually is a way of rating what the what the data center is, how available it is?
Yes, that's exactly it.
Okay, need to understand that. Thanks.
Yep. And Siskus Hennessy is another large consulting firm that does the same type of assessments and consulting on data center availability and data center design. They also came out with a new kind of tier standard approach, and that was another area that was, you know, being able to identify where your data center is as far as a performance standpoint was really popular for us.
And do you actually have to request an audit of your data center, or do they actually go out there and independently rate this on their own?
No, it's something that you would get this type of audit or assessment, mm-hmm, if you were a client of theirs.
Okay.
But other people have used these benchmarks, you know, without actually necessarily going in consulting with the Uptime Institute or consulting with Siskus Hennessy. They would go out and just use these benchmarks to, you know, have a label for themselves, to have a label for their executives to say, we are a tier 4 facility, or we are a tier 3 facility, meaning that we are, you know, this far along in our ability to avoid downtime.
And what does the tier standard misuse refer to in the story?
In the story that we talked about before, there's a lot of data center managers out there that like to say they're near tier 4 or they're tier 3 plus, which means that basically they're a little bit better than a tier 3, but they're missing some component that would make them tier 4.
Okay.
But the idea was, don't say tier 4 unless you're really tier 4, because you're going to have some sort of issue that jumps up and bites you.
So a detailed rating system for data center components and metrics for looking at your site's availability levels. That's number one trend, number one story. What's the next major area of interest?
Mainframes. They were just absolutely huge this year. IBM came out with its, you know, latest mainframe is the Z9, and that came out 18 months ago, maybe a while back, and it's just kind of started picking up traction. The mainframe audience has really kind of responded to us. So we've had stories about people migrating off the mainframe, they want to hear about that. Or IBM investing, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars into mainframe development and new technologies for the system. You know, it's kind of adapted. It was this isolated piece of, you know, computing that was in its ivory tower. And now it's really kind of expanded into the ability to manage open systems and be a hub. And the readership's there. The people are there. I mean, if you run a data center, you've got a mainframe. If you run an enterprise class system, you've got these. Even if they're just old mainframes, they're running, you know, millions of lines of code. So the popular stories for us have been about, you know, people maybe considering moving off the mainframe. The also popular story for us is about staffing considerations. So if someone decides, well, we're going to keep this mainframe, well, if you're going to be executing, we're going to buy a new one, well, you're going to be executing millions of lines of COBOL code into the foreseeable future, and everyone that knows COBOL on your staff is 62, you have to start considering, you know, how you're going to do your hiring in the coming year.
Sure.
And so that type of hiring, COBOL job market, those types of stories have done well for us this year.
Interesting. So looking at how your legacy integration issues are going to continue to be an issue for you as long as you're running on those mainframes.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. And the thing I've been hearing a lot about, certainly from whatis.com, and we've done a podcast on them, are blade servers. HP is promoting blade servers. On the other hand, Dell is downplaying them. And I see that's one of your other stories too. So how does that work? Are they just talking down HP's product, or is it because there's actually something functionally about them they don't think is good?
The Dell downplays blade story was by Alex Barrett, who's our news director. And she'd gotten the execs at Dell to say basically that blades aren't for everybody. They're not. They aren't for everybody. The problem with blade servers in a traditional environment is you have to isolate them. So they aren't sucking up all the cooling resources for your other servers. You end up with hot spots. Dell was one of the first companies to come out and say they're not for everybody. So it was kind of a big news. And also in that story, that was when Dell said that they basically dropped the ball on AMD. They basically admitted that, yes, we made a mistake by staying Intel
and,
only.
And Dell admitting that drove a lot of traffic to that story.
Yes.
Got it. I see next up is data center site selection. I imagine the price of power is a major driver for that. What else is driving data center site selection? What should people know about it? What was your story about?
Well, the story that we ran was about the top 10 data center site locations in the country listed by region. So typically it was the Midwest. The Midwest was hands down where most of the data center site selection, it was the cheapest operating cost. So it was the price of power, price of real estate. The things that had been traditionally an issue before were the networking bandwidth. Those have kind of been overcome.
Mm-hmm.
People have invested in that. The times have changed. And geography doesn't matter as much anymore as the price of power. I mean,
how important is access to water?
It depends. I there's people like building data centers on the banks of the Columbia now regularly. The Googleplex out there, and the idea is that the price of power out there is 8 cents, a kilowatt hour, as opposed to if in Northern California it's maybe twice that, three times that.
It's a pretty big driver in choosing where to build your data center.
Yeah, if you're sure. Powering tens of thousands of servers, yes, absolutely, it's millions of dollars. So
makes a lot of sense. And so it looks like you looking down the list of stories again, the Q&A that you have from an ITIL expert. Gives you some advice on that, and that's also gotten a lot of page views too, right?
Yeah, that's actually one of our top 10. It's the ability to move your data center relocation. That's happening a lot, because people want to move their data center to the Midwest, or they want to consolidate a bunch of outlying, outdated facilities that have been around for 10, 15 years. They're not being utilized. They bring them all together in a single place.
One of the top 20 buzzwords that we chose at What Is was definitely green data center. The cost of energy spiked this past year. There's no doubt that even while gas prices have come down relative to where they were in August, that energy costs are an ongoing concern for large enterprises everywhere. I mean, that's just going to be, that's very clear. Unless cold fusion comes online soon, you're going to have to figure out how to economize in energy. So not surprisingly, green data center is a big deal. Can you speak to what people are doing and what they're reading about on your site?
IT doesn't do green. It's not something that's traditionally done. IT is about uptime. It's about optimizing performance. But on our site, we have a lot of content around energy efficiency. It's become a bigger issue. This was something that has finally started to register with data center managers, that you need to conserve power. It's not the green issue isn't what makes sense to businesses. It's the idea that you can save a ton of money and improve your operation efficiency. A high performance, high efficiency operation has more availability, has more uptime. It's the same economic shift that happened in the facility management industry maybe 3-4 years ago. There was an organization called the U.S. Green Buildings Council, and they basically promoted the idea that a green building is good for productivity. It saves you money. It's a great PR move. And they proved to business owners that they could save more money than the investment they made in getting better performing buildings. They convinced the vendors that they could make more money selling greener products to people. And that's kind of happened now in IT. All the vendors are competing on miles per gallon. They're not competing on miles per hour anymore in the same sense. It's catching on. It's at every conference. People are talking about it.
And what are the ways they're going into it? Like, I think I've heard, was it Google that's put in solar cells on all across their roof now? There's different ways of making buildings more insulated in different ways, correct? There's ways of power cycling at different times, which lowers requirements. So what more can you tell me about green computing?
Well, first of all, as far as energy efficiency is concerned, all of the utility companies are now considering taking rebates out for data centers that do energy-efficient practices and buy energy-efficient products. Pacific Gas and Electric in California is the number one utility for thinking forward-thinking about this topic. And they are offering rebates to customers for buying energy-efficient servers. They're offering, for example, like the Sun Microsystems T2000 server. You get a rebate for buying that. You get a rebate from Pacific Gas and Electric if you are virtualizing your systems and getting better utilization out of your servers. Consolidating 3 or 4 or 5 pizza boxes into a virtualized system on VMware. The other thing they're offering rebates for is something called air-side economizing, which means you're bringing outside air into your data center. And that's something that they say hasn't really taken off as well, because you're bringing in outside air, which may or may not be contaminated or might not have a humidity issue. So that hasn't taken off as much, but it's something that, in an area like Northern California makes sense. It's cool. It's relatively dry. There's a reason to consider it.
And you can always bring the fog in from South.
That's right. You can bring the fog in from San Francisco.
Oh, good times. Yeah. So you got your fog up in San Fran and smog down in L.A. Choose one or the
other. That's right. You don't want to actually have that blowing under your floor units.
Not so much. On the other hand, it seems like you got the conservation on the front end. What about what people are doing with the electronic waste? Is there some stories coming out about that too? Because that's also being green, right?
The e-waste issue is really big. If you're buying 100 servers every month, to what's happening with your old servers? Where are they going? There's been a lot of news about where that toxic trash is going. Vendors are going to have to start taking this stuff back, deconstructing it, recycling it. And the U.S. government, the Congress, is talking about legislating requirements and mandates that would, in effect, standardize how companies had to take back their equipment.
Now, national e-waste legislation hasn't passed yet as of the end of 2006, but it's under consideration by the new Congress, right?
Yes, correct.
Or it will be, most likely. Good to know. So last but not least, and I think we talked about it earlier briefly, is liquid cooling.
Liquid cooling is huge in 2006. There isn't a vendor in the systems server space that doesn't have some sort of liquid cooling platform out there. Except maybe Dell. Dell doesn't have liquid cooling.
Are they coming out with it soon?
I don't think so. It's not something they're in the business of doing. But Sun Microsystems, IBM, Hewlett-Packard, they've all, in the last year, come out with liquid cooling technologies. The fact is that you just can't fight physics.
From what I understand, there's actually a lot of emphasis on getting it really right next to the chips which are generating the heat, and chip-level cooling. Is that about right?
That's something that companies have explored. The idea is the more efficient cooling comes from getting closer to the heat source. So the closer you get to the source, the better you can cool your hot components. There's a company called ISR, and they are out of Liberty Lake, Washington. And they make a product called Spray Cool, which actually sprays a fluid onto the processor, and that the phase transfer of this fluid transfers from liquid to gas, and that evaporation actually cools the chip. And they've gotten a lot of attention in the last year as well.
Well, as you look back at this past year, let's see, we counted the big stories here. We've got tier standard misuse and data center metrics for looking at uptime. We've got mainframe migration. You've got blade servers. You've got data center site selection. You've got new mainframe sales coming on. You've got e-waste and green data centers. And you've got liquid cooling. Geez, Matt, thanks for coming to the studio today. I look forward to reading more about data centers and the trends ahead on searchdatacenter.com. And if you're confused about any of the definitions or terms you've heard today, make sure to check searchdatacenter.com. And, of course, whatis.com if you don't find it there. Thanks so much.